evening and welcome to The Buck Stops Here. Well, today is the 50-day deadline of this government, 50 days after which things as far as the cash replacement strategy are supposed to get better. Joining us now, the Power Minister, Piyush Goyal. Good to speak to you today. There's so much to ask about what the road ahead is. But I must ask you first, there is a great deal of interest on what the Prime Minister will likely say. Now, I know what your answer is, but so I'll ask you a broader question. Is it likely to be phase two of demonetization or announcements to that effect?
I think the people of India have given us tremendous support. They have stood by the government. They have, despite some inconveniences, welcomed this historic initiative of the Honorable Prime Minister. And I think at the end of this 50-day period, the Honorable Prime Minister would like to share his happiness and his gratitude with the people of India. Other than that, of course, I don't know what else he would like to talk to the people. But it's an opportunity to reflect on the huge success that this move has been. It's an opportunity to also reflect on how this government has, over the last 2.5 years, been able to impactfully make a difference to the economy, make a difference to black money, make a difference to corruption. I mean, in a manner of speaking, today is also a very important day because the Singapore Treaty has been renegotiated. Yeah. The Honorable Finance Minister just told us about that. Now, that was the last nail in the coffin, in a way. Cyprus and Mauritius having already been resolved. Sure. Now, with Singapore, this round-tripping problem and the misuse of DTAs is once and for all come to an end. Something which people have been talking about for 20-odd years, but been unable to do anything.
So that's a very big step. The other thing that's been announced, the BHIM application. And it's BHIM as in Bhimrao Ambedkar, of course, and it's not BHIM from Mahabharat. But it is a very important step because it means with one finger, you will be linked to your bank accounts. How will it work?
Vishnu, India today is going to lead the world in the digital payment space. What has the world done so far? They've gone, at best, originally they were at debit and credit cards using POS machines. At best, in some parts of the world, we see a little bit of M-Pesa, for example, in Kenya, or a little bit of traction on digital payments in Bangladesh. But other than that, the Western world seems to be living in its own limited sphere of digitalization. India has leapfrogged technology. And today, after UPI and USSD's success, this Aadhaar-enabled payment system is going to revolutionize the way the world works.
So how is somebody going to transact in a village, for example?
Well, the person in the village will walk up to a store. The storekeeper only needs to have attached to his phone a simple device, which even today costs only 2,000 rupees. After my LED experiment, I suspect when we take 5 crore of those all over the country,
it's going to go down a lot.
Go down to maybe 200-300 rupees.
Right.
And for all you know, it will be packaged along with the smartphone going forward.
Right.
I'm told now new smartphones have enabled a device within the smartphone.
Right.
That this phone itself will read your fingerprint.
Yes.
So a person just needs to walk up there and his Aadhaar number, by and large now the country, everybody knows their Aadhaar number.
Yes.
Almost every adult, 99% adult has an Aadhaar number. He gives his Aadhaar number. That Aadhaar number is linked to his bank account. So the money also doesn't move out of the bank account to a debit card or anything. It continues to earn him interest.
Right.
And with the thrust being given to having money parked in banks and money disbursed through the banking channels, this money, instead of lying idle at homes and offices, will earn him interest.
You made an important point. It's not a Visa or a MasterCard or a debit card or a credit card or a company which would make money off this. It's money from the account of the person with an Aadhaar card and their fingerprint and the person who's receiving the money. There is no cash that
There's no
out.
Intermediary.
Right.
The National Payments Gateway.
The transaction is free.
Absolutely mind-boggling performance this gives you. The person's identity is proven by his fingerprint, something which cannot be duplicated or fudged. And the payment is transacted from his bank to the merchant's bank. The entire process is seamless. To my mind, this is how maybe 5 years from now, the whole world will want to transact.
Okay, what about the fact that Infrastructure in terms of IT, of broadband, 3G, even 2G is not available in many parts of the country. How will this application potentially suffer?
Well, I think already now we have about 60% penetration of 3G.
Yeah.
And that is rapidly growing. I've been talking to the telecom companies. They tell us that now spectrum is no more an issue.
Right.
So it's just their infrastructure backend that needs to be upgraded.
And that's important.
And they're investing. Vodafone, for example, the other day was telling me they brought in some 48,000 crore rupees into the country.
So when do you foresee almost 100% reach to enable these machines?
Well,
to
I wouldn't know the exact date. I'm sure
this
the ministry
year, within
of,
a year, or I mean, because probably, it's important.
Probably not later than that.
Okay, I'm going to go back to sort of pushing you to give me more on what the Prime Minister may likely say. I'm sure he'll talk about BHIM. I'm sure he'll talk about this technology. It's
not
a fair guess.
It's
absolutely.
It's a big achievement.
It's an enabler.
Absolutely.
Right, going forward. Is he likely going to talk about restrictions on cash withdrawals going?
I don't know whether that's something which Prime Minister will have to delve on. But the important aspect is what's happening on the ground today. By and large, the issue of lines on ATMs and bank branches is over. Maybe two or three cities where you find 10, 12, 15 people outside an ATM. That also because a large number of ATMs are still not got fully operational.
Right.
We are making an effort that going forward, more and more ATMs come back into operation. And maybe in a few weeks now, we may have all the ATMs fully up and about and running.
Right.
If you look back, the historical average withdrawal from an ATM before demonetization was 3,500 to 3,600 rupees
right.
per account. Right, not per transaction.
No, per account.
Per account. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously, yes.
Now, given that situation, I don't see any reason why India needs to have very, very large limits or worry about the limits today. Take the monthly withdrawal limit of 100,000 rupees, 24,000 into 4, 96,000 rupees. I don't know what you require in cash. I have yet to meet anybody who's told me that he cannot run his home with a lack of rupees in cash. Those who have the ability to spend more and hopefully are paying their taxes honestly can also transact digitally.
So are you therefore telling me that the withdrawals on cash, the limits on cash withdrawals will not
No,
change?
I'm not saying that. I don't know.
But you believe that it shouldn't necessarily change?
My own sense is they can change, they will change, and ultimately they will go away. But it won't make any significant difference to our lives.
But if it goes back to the old system where you could withdraw as much as you want, isn't that also a way in which people avoid using a digital economy, a plastic card?
I think that awareness is coming in the people now. By the way, I'll just correct myself. It's 3,600 per transaction.
Right.
Just to
correct myself.
So even if the limit was to go up slightly from 2,500 to 3,500, it would really bring the average back. Just wanted to correct my own mistake. The fact of life is that the withdrawal limits are not as important as having money in the ATMs available anytime, whenever a person wants it. The bigger picture is the awareness that has been created today in the country. After all, why did people support Mr. Modi so wholeheartedly? Why did we get blessings of people across the country, even despite the inconvenience? Because they recognize that a more honest transaction, a more honest economy, where everybody is on a level playing field, paying their taxes, all transactions are reported, so revenue comes to the government, that revenue goes to serve the poor, serve the farmers, serve the women and youth of this country. They understand that more people paying their taxes honestly logically will lead to some relief for the middle class, for the common man. Farmers, in any case, know they are not taxed at all, and they'll not be taxed in the future. Also, they are free from income tax, and almost no other taxes are applied to them in the normal course. So the situation is where, if you ask me, today a common man is going to go to a shop and insist on a bill.
Okay, but you're still not directly answering the question. Perhaps you don't have an answer. That cash withdrawal limit.
I don't have an answer.
You don't have an answer.
That's something which will be decided by the Reserve Bank.
Do you believe that in the long run, we need to have as much cash available in the system?
We have huge amounts of cash. In fact, today, everywhere, there's sometimes people talk
because
that...
Because the reason I ask is because a lot of people say that this is a government that wants to discourage a lot of cash out there in the open because they want to...
I think our discouraging is more out of persuasion. and are discouraging, people will come out of their own sense of responsibility towards a cleaner economy.
As opposed to a complete shutting down of the same
amount
of cash.
Where is the question of shutting down? Even today, when you deposit new
of
notes,
the same
you can
of
withdraw
cash.
Any amount of
right.
money. Right?
Right.
So if I deposit 1 crore rupees of new notes, if I get it out of my sale on, in my business, I can withdraw 1 crore if I want. But we are finding that in most cases, once the payment of salaries has moved into digital modes, then really people don't need to withdraw large amounts.
So do you believe that this is something that needs to be made compulsory across more sectors? The transfer of salary has to be digital?
Well, Andhra Pradesh, for example, has made it compulsory. But to my mind, I don't think compulsory is as much an issue as the understanding amongst everybody that, look, this is in national interest. We've got to do it. Trade unions, the Bharatiya Mazdoor Sangh has welcomed it.
Would you enforce it?
I would love to enforce it because I want the unorganized labor to get their minimum wages. I would like them to get healthcare benefits for their families.
But in Jandhan accounts already, not Jandhan, in Manrega schemes, already money is directly transferred
exactly.
electronically into their bank
so
accounts.
So why should the tea gardens of West Bengal or the coffee plantations of Kerala insist on paying in cash? Is there an ulterior motive behind that? Is there somebody standing there to maybe snipe out some amount of that money for ulterior motives? Is there an effort to support people not paying minimum wages? To my mind, the nation today is ready, where everybody has a Jandhan account, every family has one account.
For salary transactions to take place digitally.
Digitally or through the banking channel.
Oh, right, whichever.
It will be a great move forward to support the unorganized labor. It will be a dream come true for millions and millions of Indians who through their sweat and toil are running the wheels of this economy.
Yeah.
But are not even being compensated their due share.
Land transactions in the future. Now, there is a sense that so many of the land transactions which have happened so far has been people parking their money, their perhaps illegally earned money into property. Going forward, do you believe that all land transactions have to be done digitally?
Of course, ideally.
But how would
we
you
should digitalize
that?
The land records, and this government has already initiated that
so
program.
So going forward, that is something that. Because so much of money is parked in property.
That program is already underway.
Right.
To digitalize all the land records of the country with titles. And to my mind, it will be a great step forward. If the people of India, with the same level of cooperation we saw in the last 50 days, come forward to want to do business and want to transact officially. And with the kind of tax rates that we have now, really, there's no incentive to cheat.
Now, you've mentioned tax rates a couple of times. Is there good news in store for all of us?
That only the Honorable Finance
Minister can say. The amount of money, but just logically speaking, into the banking system now is very large. It's been much larger than perhaps ever before. And that money, a lot of it would be legal as well. I mean,
that's the success
of
demonetization.
Right.
That we have been able to get a trail of money finally.
Right. So now that you have a trail of money, and now that all of that is going to be taxable one way or the other, do you not believe it's time for people to have lower income taxes, perhaps across the board?
Well, that's really for the Honorable Finance Minister. He has the larger picture of revenues and the way forward in
But logically speaking, isn't that something that people in this country, if not in the next budget, but certainly in the future, can look forward to? More money in the banking system, more money which is under surveillance, logically means that tax rates will be rationalized further.
So, well, you are applying the logic.
I don't.
So
that's my logic. But
isn't it also?
I mean, your own logic. I mean, isn't that
The finance minister thinks very logically, and to my mind, the last 3 years we've seen some of the finest budgets and effort to clean up past inherited legacy issues, and effort to strengthen the macroeconomic parameters of this country. An effort to provide stable outcomes through budgetary provisions and budgetary policy, an effort to invest in capital goods, in sustainable infrastructure, which is unparalleled from the past. So I think Mr. Jetley has excelled himself as a finance minister, and you'll continue to see him further doing good for the
okay,
country.
Okay, so now just look in the future. We briefly discussed the app, Bheem. There are other apps as well. So transactions will be done digitally. A lot more money in the banking system. That would perhaps remain the case in the future. How else would India benefit? How would our citizens benefit through a less cash society? Because you're not using cash less as yet.
Well, of course, cashless is not there anywhere in the world.
Right.
But it's an aspirational goal. We have enough cash that people who cannot transact cashless or digitally or maybe in some remote area don't have enough connectivity. There's enough cash in the system. And every day that cash is increasing in the system. So really, today I have not heard of people complaining that they're not able to get change or 500 rupee notes or 100 rupee notes. Things are fast moving to normalcy. In fact, some television channels keep showing some images without writing the date and place, which leads us to believe that many of them are trying to show some old clippings today, which is, I think, grossly unfair. And I'm sure a responsible media house like yours, if they show any clipping of lines or any cues,
that should have a date.
Put the date and
right.
the location.
That's an important point.
So many media houses have promised me in
because the situation
of my
has changed over a period of time, and that's something
and
that we certainly
grossly
have reported.
Unfair to be showing some backdated file pictures today.
No, to
create a wrong impression amongst the
people. But the future.
So can I hope that NDTV and all its associated publications and media houses will certainly do an ethical reporting?
You don't need to hope, because that is already the case.
We would not misrepresent
the present situation. At the same time, we would never underrepresent the suffering that some people have had. And I don't think the government is in denial about it.
Not at all. We have acknowledged
absolutely.
The Prime Minister is on record thanking the people.
Absolutely.
But any visuals should certainly have
we
a
take
date
that
and
point,
a location.
We take that point.
That is the right and ethical way of reporting.
Yeah, absolutely. That situation has changed. But just again, looking at the future, where do you see the potential of this actually going? A less cashless society.
This has so many multifarious dimensions. You look at a situation of
higher tax revenues.
Level playing field,
where
everybody can work honestly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have often given this example that if two people start cheating in a marketplace, the others perforce gradually start cheating to remain competitive. And then you have a situation that the entire market is not paying its taxes honestly.
Yeah.
But instead of that, if the rest of the people were to whistle blow and tell us about these two people, then everybody could run an honest situation and sleep peacefully at night. After all, one big message of demonetization is that the honest can sleep peacefully, don't have anything at all to worry. Those who are willing to go honest even now have been reassured by the government and even by the Honorable Prime Minister that please start doing your business legitimately, at least henceforth. We won't do a post-mortem of the past. We won't open up the past. We won't ask you how your employees increased from 200 to 500. Were you not reporting these 300 before? Will not get back into calculating your turnovers for last 3 years, 5 years. It's an appeal to the trading community, to the business community, to people in different walks of life. Let us turn over a new leaf.
Sure.
Let's try and work with the law of the land. And I think if more and more people become conscious of that, it can totally change the future.
So how would you do that? Because we have so many who are illiterate, who are intimidated by ATM machines, who still don't have a bank account. Who are frightened of actually accessing whatever they are entitled to do.
It would be great if your channel would start a campaign.
We would certainly do that, but it's more than just one channel or one network.
Almost everybody is given to understand the whole Network 18 is starting a campaign.
We would certainly do that as well, and I have said so on my previous programs as well, but in terms of government outreach in educating people, isn't this also a really important
area?
We are
working literally, I can say, burning the midnight oil. Mr. Prakash Javadekar, the HRD minister, has been interacting with schools and colleges. And the youth of India is very excited about this. Actually, what are we doing? We are trying to leave behind a better place to live in for the next generation. Vishnu, you and I have had our time. We've inherited a certain world. We've many times compromised in our lives. But when you talk to your children, when you talk to these kids around here, they want a new, different style. They want to pay their taxes, live a peaceful life.
Right.
Have leisure and fun, party hard, work hard.
Right.
That's the kind of future we want to give to the youth of this country. And we are finding that when we talk to college students, school children, I talk to college children.
They're enthusiastic about it.
They are very enthusiastic. They are ready to commit that I'll train 100 people. Somebody says, my college will train 100,000 people in the villages around our urban areas or cities. There's a lot of enthusiasm there. District collectors across the country, save and except one or two states, who decided as a policy that they want to oppose everything that Prime Minister Modi does, good or bad. I think other than one or two states across the country, Chandrababu Naidu's Garu's committee had made some recommendations. and district collectors nationally are working as a team to bring about a change, to encourage people, teach people, train people.
Now, another very important group would be the so-called business correspondents and those with micro ATMs. You were talking about tea gardens, and we actually ran a story a few days back on how the situation in tea gardens has changed over the last 1 month or so, where people were unable to get their income earlier, but now because of the spread of micro ATMs and business correspondents, you've got money reaching people. Right. There are, of course, parts of the country, for example, tea gardens, which are so huge, you can't have banks and you can't have ATMs. The spread of micro ATMs, how big is it?
Well, going forward, the same BHIM application, Aadhaar-based application, will also act as an ATM. So a person can make payments through the BHIM application. He could also withdraw cash through the BHIM application.
Right.
So he goes to that machine. His bank account is accessed from his Aadhaar number and the identification from his fingerprint. And then should he have the need to withdraw cash, he can withdraw cash from through the same mechanism.
Sure.
So in effect, India would probably have 5 crore ATMs, micro ATMs as you call them. Even today, another way we are taking this digital technology to the rural masses is through the common service centers.
Yeah.
There are nearly 200,000 of them, expected to grow to 250,000. We are talking to them through the post offices, 180,000 post offices. So the effort is to really reach out to the last man in the country. And very often, there's always an idea whose time comes. I think today, digital payment is an idea whose time has come. And
all
more
right.
and more people are accepting it across the
country. Last question to you. Dr. Manmohan Singh said 2% GDP would be affected. That is a few months back. Do you now believe that we wouldn't suffer substantially GDP-wise?
Well, even that time when he said it, I had responded the same day. I felt actually very sad that the grand old party was in such a sad state of affairs that they had to bring Dr. Manmohan Singh, the eminent economist that he is and former prime minister, to come and speak make comments which had no basis or which really could not stand any scrutiny. I mean, I thought it was elementary economics that if 20% of your nation's GDP is in the informal sector, as is widely reported, even the World Bank statistics seem to suggest that. If even half of that is brought into the formal GDP, into the formal economy, think of the huge impact, the positive impact it will have on the GDP. So I, for one, fail to understand the logic of 2% of the GDP being shaved off. To my mind, this can only but help the GDP accelerate its growth, the short-term blip notwithstanding.
So things are going to get easier.
Things are going to get much better.
All right.
And it's going to be great times for the people of India in the new year. Through you, to your viewers, to your family and their families. Great year ahead. An honest 2017 for India. A year of opportunities. A year of good governance. And a year which will bring prosperity to each and every citizen of this country.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you so much.
Thanks, Vishnu.
The Power Minister, Piyush Goyal, telling us about why we should be optimistic looking into the new year, how a less cash society is increasingly a reality we need to embrace.